But this morning I want to preach out the thought of John chapter 6 on letting God use what you have. Notice in the very first verse, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." And one of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You can be seated this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this again another Sunday that you've given to come into your house. We pray that as we preach that, Lord, you would stir in people's heart and do a work that, Lord, I cannot do. I'm going to stand here and preach, and I'm going to try my best to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray that you would not only reach into men and women and boys and girls' ears today, but into their heart, that they would just be very attentive to the Word of God. If there's one lost, save them. If there's one that has a need, I pray that need would be met this morning. I pray you'd guard our mind and our thoughts while we try to preach for just a little while, and might you be honored in it all. We ask you now for help, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over time, as we look at this passage of Scripture, over time we get familiar with some things. A lot of times I'm afraid, and if we ain't careful, we'll look over some stuff that's in the Bible. We read it, and we hear it in Sunday school, we've been raised with it, and we're liable to miss it if we ain't careful. And by the way, this is one of the very few stories that you find in all 4 Gospels. Very few times do all 4 Gospels tell you all the stories, but this one does. You'll find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we read out of John, we find that there is a crowd that comes to the Lord. Now, in Mark chapter 6, you'll find that they had traveled with him, and he has healed their disease. He has healed their sick, and it's getting on toward nightfall. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go over to the book of Mark. I believe it is Mark chapter 6, and we'll look over here real quick. And you'll find that in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 34, the Bible said this, and it says that when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so you find that here they followed the Lord, and he sees them and has compassion on them and compassion on the crowd, and he begins to teach them. And not only does he teach them, if you look in verse 35, the Bible said, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" Now here the Lord is. He has healed their sick. He has been teaching them. And now his disciples say, "Lord, the sun's setting. It's getting dark. It's about time to go to bed. It's getting on that way. Send them away that they can go get some supper. Now, if you know anything about the Lord, He's always the one that likes to fulfill things and do things that is beyond our sight and our control sometimes. Notice right here when back in the text verse when he asked Philip about these things, he said, Philip, he said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I believe they're having a conversation right here. I believe these disciples are talking to the Lord and they're telling the Lord it's time to send them away to let them go get something to eat. And he's asking Philip, says, well, Philip, can't we buy them something and give them something? You know, the Lord already knew what He was going to do. And I'm getting ahead of myself this morning. Can I tell you that sometimes God will want to use something very small and that to do something very big in His work. This message board out of my daily Bible reading, out of the book of 2 Kings over there, when the widow woman whose husband had been a son of the prophet, and he had borrowed from the creditors and then died, and the creditors come and was going to take her two sons for bondmen, and she cried to the man of God, Elisha, and he said, what do you have in the house? And she said, all I've got in here is a cruse of oil. He said, go borrow all the pots and pans and everything that you can get and start filling them full of oil. And she took her cruse of oil and she began to pour out and she began to pour out and she began to pour out and she poured till she not run out of oil but until she run out of pots and pans. And the Bible said that the oil stayed. You know what the Lord done? He took something that was very little and done something great big with it. If you look in 1 Kings chapter 17, when the widow woman who was taking care of Elijah, the Bible said that he went over to her and said, make me a cake first. And she said, look, I'm just coming out here to gather some sticks. I'd make me and my son a cake. I just got a little meal and a little oil. And then we're going to eat it and die. I always thought what a horrible place to be in. I mean, the famine's been raging for about 3.5 years in Israel at that time. And all she's going to do is make a cake. And you know what Elijah said? Said, go make my cake first. That's almost arrogant. Almost. He said, go make my cake first. And he said, make your alls. And he said, the meal barrel stay, and so will the cruse of oil. And you know what? She went and made him that cake. And got him some water. And the Bible said that during the whole time of that famine, that meal barrel never wasted, nor the cruse of oil. The Lord likes to take finite things and little things and do big things with it. Listen today, and I'm way ahead of myself here, but a lot of times we want to tell God, Lord, if I had more to serve you with, or if I had more money to give, or if I had this and that, or if I knew how to do this, I would serve you. Hey, it's not the fact of what you don't have, it's what you do have, and that to be able to serve God with. And so I want to look at this for just a minute or two, God being our helper. I love how God likes to take small things. Well, preacher, it's a good thing because that's all I've got is little things. Amen. He loves to take little things and do great big things with it. I guess that could be the title of the message. But notice right here that first of all, notice the Lord gave them a command to give. You can go back in that to Mark chapter 6. I read it. And he answered unto them and said, give ye them to eat. And so we see the command and that to give. He wanted them to go buy bread. As a matter of fact, in the text verse, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? He's had compassion on them. He's seen the need of them. He has tried to help them. He has tried to teach them or has taught them. And now he wants to feed them. He wants to do something for them that, friend, that they really can't do themselves. Because as a matter of fact, I would say that a lot of them didn't bring any food. A lot of them didn't have a whole lot. And he asked Philip and says, Philip, what are we going to do right here? Have you ever felt like, Philip, that you're in an insurmountable situation that is in front of you? Now, can you imagine? He's got 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, the Bible tells us. And so you can imagine there's 10 to 15,000 people out here. By the way, the Bible said in a desert place where there was grass. Did you catch that? You know, only the Lord can get you in a desert place, but provide you grass to sit down in right there. I love the Lord for being able to do that. You know, that word desert means deserted, or it means barren, or void. And listen, only the Lord can get you in a desert place and still give you green grass to rest in. That's amazing to me today. But has He ever got you in a place to where starts asking you questions about what you're going to do in your service to Him? Philip, what are we going to do right here to feed these people? Now let me say today, if you don't know Him, then none of this what I'm preaching is going to make sense to you. You're not going to understand anything. You need to get saved. You need to understand that this man that we've talked about, sung about, that he went to Calvary and died for you and rose again for you. You're a sinner needing to get saved, and your sin is held against you until you come to Him, and He will forgive you of your sin. Amen. But if you know Him, then I have no doubt if you've been saved at any time at all, I know He spoke to your heart about serving Him. And a lot of times we begin to make excuses for not being able to serve. We kind of get like Moses sometimes, and we say, Lord, I can't speak plain. You know what the Lord told Moses? Moses, who made you, man? Moses had a speech impediment. But yet God was wanting him to go down and have to talk to Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh about letting Israel go. A lot of times in our command to give, we want to tell the Lord that we can't. When it's not really that we can't, it's that we won't. Right here, Philip was looking at everything, and he says, we've got 200 penny worth. But he said, that's not sufficient, that even they could take a little. He talks about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I'll get there in a minute, but you know what he said in verse 9? He said, but what are they? What was it, Andrew over here that said that? Andrew said, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Are we not the same way? Do we not look at how little something is that maybe God wants us to do, or God wants to use in our life or out of our life, and we say, God, this is so little, it'll never amount to anything. It's not the size of something that God is looking for. It's the very fact that He just wants you and that to be willing to give. There was a lady at the nursing home when, prior to COVID, Miss Irma. Miss Irma would come in there at least once a week and spend about 2 or 3 hours once a week and come in and do those ladies' fingernails. She'd come in and she'd trim them, and she'd file them, and she'd paint them, and she'd sit there and talk to them. And that seemed just like such a little thing. But Irma was a saved woman on top of that. And you know, when you're saved and you're sitting there and you're cutting fingernails and you're filing and you're painting, you know, you could talk to them about the Lord. But you know what the Lord was doing right there? He was feeding them. He was doing something that they physically needed. You know, before sometimes you can ever meet somebody's spiritual need, you're going to have to meet their physical need. If somebody's sitting there hungry, starving to death, I'm not sure they're going to listen to you a whole lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you show them the love of God, and go out there, and we sing this in Sunday school this morning, when he talks about if you've got the world's goods, that means if you've got the stuff. In other words, if you've got money in your back pocket enough to go buy them a McDonald's hamburger, go buy them a McDonald's hamburger and give them something to eat, and give them the gospel in the process. He said, well, that's just such a little thing. God ain't looking for big stuff. Listen, if you can do great big things, help yourself and get after it. Amen. Well, notice right here, he's saying to Philip and to Andrew, he says, look, boys, we've got 200 penny worth of bread, or 200 penny worth of money that you ain't gonna buy bread. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They just seem so little. I think about my mother, her and another lady that she works or that she worked with over the years. My mom is up in her 70s now, and probably moves and goes faster than I'll ever think about going. And at least every other week, I believe it is, her and another lady goes and does meals on wheels. Don't have to. Nobody's twisting their arm to do that. But that's the way she chooses. So, see, we mess up sometimes in the way that we think that the only place that we serve God is in here. Actually, we do serve Him in here, but we come in here to worship, we come in here to learn, but our service is out there. We miss that a lot of times. And we think all that we're going to do is when we come to church, we get in the choir and we sing or we testify a little bit or the preacher preaches. But He commands them to give. What does the Lord wanted out of you? I don't think God wants you rent money and your house payment and your light bill. Now, if He does, that's between you and Him. You go ahead and write your checkbook out and He'll handle the rest of it. I have no doubt. But I'm going to tell you, I do believe that He wants your tithes, your times, and your talent. And I've thought about this so much as I studied this message, and a lot of times we get stingy with our money. Hey, listen, God has gave you, and you ain't willing to give the 10% that He's wanted and He's told us to give. Oh, shame on you. Our time, we get very stingy with our time or very lazy with our time. And listen, I know some of you all are working 12 hours a day trying to raise a family. I understand every bit of that, and God does too. That's a great thing. You can serve Him on the job, can't you? When I start talking about our talent, we think about talent just being able to play a musical instrument or just being able to sing well. But really, talent goes far more than that. I think about Brother Tom back here because of his ability to do carpentry work and plumbing and electrical, all that, that he goes and with a group called Helping Hands and does work for people that can't do it. Because of his talent. He's able to do that. Not all of us have the same talent, and that's the great thing about the Lord. He gives some of us different talents to be able to do different things in His service for Him. You know, there's one feller I know that he's headed to Florida right now. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go down there and he's going to cook for those people. He's taking food and he's going to cook for those people that are stranded, that don't have a home. He's going to just go down there and he's going to feed them. Well, what a talent. You say it don't take much to cook. That's right. It don't take much to cook. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord ain't always looking for a whole lot out of us. He's just looking for what He wants out of us. So the command to give. The command to give. But then notice the doubt of His disciples over here. I've already talked about this. What can I do, preacher? I'm just one man or one woman that's got very little money, or I'm one child. I'll deal with that here in a minute. What can I do? You'll be amazed at what one person can do. You'll be amazed at how that God can take the work of one person or a little bit of money of one person and be able to bless that thing. But that thing will go on and on and on. I thought about Brother Ed Ballou. Some of y'all might remember Brother Ballou. He was an evangelist. He pastored a little bit around here in North Georgia and lived in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he was more known of an evangelist. And I love to hear Brother Ballou preach. And I'm glad that there's still tapes and videotapes of him preaching out of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And love him. But you know, Brother Ballou was the one that started Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Him and Sister Pauline, his wife. And you know how that thing started? It started with a tape duplicator in his closet. Because he had got some requests for some tapes in prison. And so he just started Rock of Ages tape ministry. And started mailing them to one prison. Started with one man mailing some tapes out of one prison. One man. One prison. Just sending a few tapes. And you know what God done? You know what? You know how many? I believe Rock of Ages prison ministry. I believe now, today, in 2022, I believe they've got over 130 missionaries that go out into prisons and preach. Not only do they go out into prisons, but they have their own printing ministry down there in Cleveland, Tennessee. Down there printing every piece of track and every piece of material that they use. God done that because one man sent a few tapes to a prison. That's amazing to me. What if Brother Ballou had said, "No, Lord, I don't want to do that"? If you ever read the story about that, about how as he was getting that thing going and he was just sending some tapes, he said this, he was quoted saying this, "I believe God wants me to start a prison ministry." And so he just started one. One man decided that's what God wanted him to do and he was going to be faithful to it. And he just done it. I'm talking about letting God use what you have. It may just be time. You say, "I ain't got no money." What kind of time do you have? What kind of talent do you have? You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of talent, but I got money." Hey, listen, cut them a check and somebody else that's got time and talent will go take care of the rest of it. Amen. It all takes all of it, you see. Just takes a little bit. Notice right here the offer that was made. The Lord was trying to prove Philip and he was trying to prove his disciples because they were doubting. How many of us has God ever wanted to move and do something, but we've doubted that thing? Now, Lord, you know that nothing good is going to come out of this. It can't be done this way. Can you imagine his disciples when he said, "Bring me these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just bring them over." Can you imagine in their mind what is going on? Because they've already said 200 penny worth of bread ain't enough. I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? Don't we kind of feel that way sometimes? I can take you to a church right now over Middle Tennessee that is smaller than ours. And depending on what Sunday it is how big or how little we are. Amen. But he's smaller than ours and has one of the greatest printing ministries that you'll ever see. Does that mean we need to start a printing ministry? No. Does that mean we need to do something else? Not necessarily. But I'm just saying whatever God wants us to do as a church, we need to be willing to do it and go forward with it. Put our faith in the Lord. But the offer's made. Look in verse 9 of the text. Am I making sense this morning? All right. Just making sure. Notice he said right here, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Well, what are they among so many? Now notice the offer gets made of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. First of all, it came from a little boy. And I want to ask you moms and dads, what are you, notice where he was, first of all. He was where the Lord was. Notice that he was in that company of those that were following the Lord around. I don't know if his mom and dad was there. I don't know if he was there by himself. The Bible don't tell us that. All it tells us is there was a lad here that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he brings them to the Lord and he's willing to give what he has and that to the service of God. Why don't it be something you ought to teach your children today? It's not only to serve God, but what they have to be willing to give and that to the Lord. Can I tell y'all how I learned how to tithe? You say, "Well, you were taught it." Yeah, I was taught it. You were preached to about it. Yes, I was preached to about it. But you really don't know how I was taught how to tithe? I watched my mother every Sunday morning write a check as I was growing up. And when the plate came by, she tore it out of the checkbook and put it in the plate. That's how I learned how to tithe. I learned it because I watched my mom and dad do it. And then as I was growing up, they taught us why that was right. But I learned again because I watched them do it. You know, if you're stingy, you're probably going to raise stingy children. If you're lazy, you're probably going to raise lazy children. Amen, preacher. Ain't that good this morning? Amen. I'm digging a hole fast, ain't I? But the offer was made. I'm just telling the truth. You all know that. Listen to me. I'm not wanting your money. I'm not wanting your time. And I'm not wanting your talent. God is. You say, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. Then you know what you need to do? Keep doing what you're doing. If you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, then keep doing it. Don't back up. Don't let me discourage you from doing what God's called you to do and put you in the ministry of doing. Among all these adults, here comes this little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A small offering, but he gave it anyway. These youngins downstairs in the Sunday school classes, in the primer class, and in the little class, and they give a quarter, or they give a dollar. And, you know, all that goes to the work of Christ. What them kids take up in their Sunday school class, in the young people's class, we just sent money to a missionary out of that class just a couple weeks ago. Ain't that right, Sister Evelyn? I believe that I sent the King family down in Mexico about $100 out of that class. He said, well, what's $100? I remember listening to Brother Freddie Holcomb preach one time here. And when he was on the road with Gulf Coast Prison Ministries, he talks about, again, it seemed like it was $20 or $30 that a church had sent him. And he said, I went right down out of the shoe store and bought my girl some shoes because that's what she needed. Be amazed what $20 or $30 or $40 or $100 might do. I'm just saying. The offer was made. It seemed like a small thing, but it was made. We get in that thought pattern. I do. I'll be honest with you. Lord, we want to do great big things. You know, great big things stem out of little things sometimes. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19. Preacher, if I just had more to work with, or if I had more to do or something better, just go to Luke 19. Luke 19, look in verse 13. Yeah, let's back up to verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in this, by the way. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Kind of what Israel done, wasn't it? And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now what did he do? He had 10 servants, left 10 talents. So they all got a talent apiece right here. And then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound, or a pound, excuse me, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very what? In a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He said, you've been faithful over something that was very little. Go to look at the next verse, verse 18. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. He told him the same thing. You've been faithful over something that was very little. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. So he took that piece of coin. He took that coin that he had. Took that coin. And he put it in a napkin, and he put it up, and he set it up on the shelf somewhere, and let it sit right there the whole time. Not only did he set it up on the shelf, but he put it in a napkin. Man, that thing was hid. Well, he put it in there to protect it. Maybe he did, but I'm going to tell you, when he was wrapped up in that napkin, you sure couldn't see it. And he said, I put it in a napkin. And he said, behold, here it is. And he said, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. You know what he said? Just like we do today. Why didn't you go put it in the bank, get 3% interest on it, and when I come back, I could at least have a little bit more money than what I left you with. Why didn't you at least try to do something with it? Man, you say, well, some people's got better talents than I do, preacher. They can sing better. They sound better. They can do more. He's talking about a pound. He's talking about one talent, one pound right here. Just something very little. And he said you should have at least put it in the bank. At least gained a little something out of it. I'll guarantee you, if you'll sit down and pray and say, Lord, where can I serve you at the best and the most, that you can do something with my life. I think about Hannah. I thought about this early this morning on the way here. How did Hannah serve God? She prayed for her son. Man, she was struggling, her soul. Man, she was so depressed and distraught and all that. But you know what she done? She said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. You know what you mom and daddy, some of you need to do? You just need to raise your children to serve the Lord. He put them in your control and in your hands that you need to just raise them how to serve God. And when they get ready to go out into the world, they'll be ready to do something for the Lord. The offer's made. How many of you have offered what you have to the Lord? Now stay with me. I know what time it is. I'm going to close this right here in a minute. But notice it was just 5 loaves and 2 fish. I was about to say 2 barley fishes. That would have been crazy, wouldn't it? But he made them to sit down in much grace. You know what the Lord done? Let me ask you this question. Reckon what God would be able to do with what you offer if you just offer. This little fella right here, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Reckon what he thought he was going to eat after he gave them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, there's 5,000 men, women, and children, plus the women and children, standing there, and he's given 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Do you even think he thought he was going to get part of that? You understand what I'm asking? I mean, there's 12 disciples over here plus the Lord. Man, that's enough to eat 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he was given. I really think this young man was given with no expectation of return. Or maybe he knew what God was about to do. I don't know. But I know that he was willing to be faithful in little. How much about us? But notice what the Lord done. The Bible tells us in other places that he took the food and he blessed it. Here it said, and Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks. So he blessed it, gave thanks for it. And then you know what he done? He began to distribute it. He began to break it up and he began to distribute it and give it out to his disciples. And his disciples began to give it out to those that were sitting there. And God blessed that thing. And you know what he done with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. All because one young boy was willing to give. Even when his disciples doubted what was going to happen, somebody standing here at least had a little faith and was willing to give. He multiplied it over and over. Can I ask you a question? How many people do you think has been won to the Lord because Brother Ed Ballou and Sister Pauline was willing to start Rock of Ages tape ministry in their closet at their house to send it to one prison down in Florida? How many people do you think has been won because of that? Just little. I'm talking about he gave a little right there, just a little time and a little money to invest in that thing. And you know what? That thing grew so fast and so much that he was running out of room, and there was another pastor sent some men down there to his house and built him a building on his own property to run that thing out of. God has a way to provide when he wants to get his work done. And if we won't do it, I'll guarantee you somebody else will. You say, well, see, our preacher, somebody else will do it. They will if you won't do it. But you're going to miss your blessing on top of it. The Bible tells us it was a little lad right here. That story's been in this Bible for almost 2,000 years. And we still know about that little lad, don't we? Don't know his name. We don't know his mom and daddy, if he had any sisters or brothers. But we know that little lad gave. What a blessing. So you know what the Lord done? He multiplied it. Now look at what your Bible says in verse 7. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's the way some people look. They look at spiritual matters through carnal and physical eyes. And you'll never see what God is able to do when you're looking at spiritual things through physical and carnal eyes. But notice what your Bible said right here in verse 11. That he gave thanks, he distributed disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. Now look what your Bible said. As much as they would. I believe in another point it talked about till they were filled. You know what? They all got to eat as much as they wanted to eat. He didn't send them away with just a little. He sent them away full. Ain't you glad that's the way the Lord works? He just ain't going to give you a little. He'll give you a bunch if you'll stay with Him. And then notice in verse 12, and when they were filled, there it is. I believe the Bible. When it says they were filled, they were filled. He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragment of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When He got done, the Lord, His disciples went out and picked up 12 basketfuls. I'll never forget one of the things that Brother Ted Pegram taught me when I was just a young pastor. He told me one time, he said, we were needing some pews at the church. We needed some benches. And he said, so we just took on more missionaries. Well, what's that got to do with anything? He said, the Lord provided for those missionaries and provided over that we were able to buy benches. Now, ain't that something? He multiplied over and over. We forget Ephesians 3 and 20 is in the Bible. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Lord we serve. He said, well, that was when Jesus was here. You're talking about the God of the Old Testament. You're talking about the God that came. Listen, he still works that way. When we offer what we have, the widow woman had just a little oil. He blessed that thing. That widow woman that took care of Elijah, she just had a little oil and meal, and he took care of that thing. David was just a ruddy young man that went down there to fight a giant with a sling and a stone, and God took care of that thing. All through this whole book, he takes care when people offer. What are you offering to the Lord today? Will you let God use what? I don't know what I have. Well, why don't you pray and say, Lord, what can I do for you? And you show me. Let's bow our heads this morning.